Welcome to today's Strategic Housing Podcast, where our goals are to connect people, share innovative ideas, and collaborate with partners on affordable housing opportunities and replicable models that strengthen our communities in Kentucky and across the nation. My name is Edwin King, and I'm the Executive Director of Kentucky Housing Corporation. Today's podcast features housing and homeless resources for our veterans. And with me today is Heather French Henry, who currently serves as the Deputy Commissioner of the Kentucky Department of Veterans Affairs, or KDVA. Heather has been serving our military veterans and their families for over 20 years. As the daughter of a Vietnam veteran in the Marine Corps, Heather was directly impacted by her father's service and his difficult transition coming home. When Heather became Miss America, she traveled the country, sharing her family's story to advocate for greater partnership between community-based organizations and government to help assist in homelessness, housing, and healthcare needs facing our veterans and their families. She worked closely with members of Congress to establish groundbreaking legislation to create new opportunities for community outreach in the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and the bill was actually named the Heather French Henry Homeless Veterans Assistance Act. Her work then continued through the Heather French Foundation for Veterans Incorporated, focusing on community outreach to help better educate young and old alike about programs available to assist veterans. Welcome to our podcast, Heather.
Oh, great. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for helping to spread all the great news about resources available for our veterans. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you again for being our guest today and really talking more about your work and the work of KDVA and opportunities to help our veterans who need those valuable resources. Heather, we'll go ahead and get started. You've been a longtime advocate for homeless veterans and have served two Kentucky governors as an advocate for our military veterans. Please tell us more about your story and where your inspiration and passion comes from to help our veterans.
Well, that certainly is a lifelong story, to be sure. You know, as you had mentioned, I'm the daughter of a disabled Vietnam veteran who had a very difficult transition coming home from Vietnam. And he came home with co-occurring issues with substance abuse and PTSD. And then his brother, my uncle, wound up being a homeless veteran on the streets in Gainesville, Florida. And the Gainesville VA found him and put him into a veteran-specific drug rehab program, then called the Serenity House. And he graduated from that program, went on to get a degree in counseling, came back as a counselor there, and became counselor of the year a few years before he retired. So both men in my life had really hit rock bottom and then used community-based organizations, partnered with government resources, and turned their lives around. And so I got to see that firsthand. And when I became Miss America, you know, all the young women in our program have to have a social impact cause, or in our day called a platform. And it was evident to me that we could utilize our family story and the impact that military life had on our family to help spread the news about hope, hope of resources, hope of partnerships, hope of what coming together could do to, one, decrease homelessness among veterans in the United States. But then also, I broadened that message halfway through my Miss America year to encompass a variety of veterans' issues, even extending just from homelessness to housing, healthcare, benefits, claims, and disability. And I'm very proud to say that 18 years later, you know, still working on it, and even more so in a more direct impact to our Kentucky veterans with my role here at the Kentucky Department of Veterans Affairs. And what's very interesting about my role here at KDVA is this department actually got started under my husband's administration when he was Lieutenant Governor with Paul Patton in the governor. And so I actually got a chance to work with every commissioner prior to me being commissioner here. And so I've seen the department grow from just a handful of people to now over 900 statewide. We now have 4 state veterans nursing homes, 5 state veteran cemeteries. I mean, we truly cover all 120 counties of Kentucky with some sort of resources for Kentucky's population of heroes. And I think that's a pretty profound statement that, you know, over 300,000 veterans and over 24,000 of them being women veterans, that we can now say that we touch all 120 counties with resources.
Well, that's great. I know our agencies work often together, and we appreciate the partnership. Can you tell us more about the types of housing services available to veterans through your department?
Well, through the State Department, of course, you know, we consider ourselves the state's largest networking arm for veterans and their families. Even if we don't administer the program, we will network that veteran and their family to other resources, sort of that nice, warm, soft sort of handoff. And a lot of times we will know some of those more regionally specific resources and programming that are available even county to county, but also regionally within the state of Kentucky. And so for housing, for us, there are a multitude of ways that we assist. Our primary way that we assist is homeless veteran prevention. And we have a homeless veteran transition fund, which probably isn't the most correctly named fund because we try to prevent it more than wanting a veteran to become homeless and then we can deal with their situation. It's much cheaper to deal with the issue before they lose their housing than afterwards, certainly. And there are a variety of programs that differ on that. But our homeless veteran transition fund can actually assist a veteran with a once in a lifetime grant of $250 to $500 to help subsidize a security deposit. It can help pay rent. It can help pay utilities, water, electricity, heat, and a variety of issues that can really prevent a veteran and their family from losing their house or living in an uninhabitable situation. And we run that program at probably about $80,000 a year. It's amazing to me how many veterans within the Commonwealth of Kentucky need that type of emergency assistance funding. And then if a veteran has come to us before and they have to come to us again, of course, ours is a once in a lifetime. So then we partner with other organizations like Volunteers of America, Centerstone, you name it, other resources out there and other veteran service organizations like the American Legion has an emergency assistance fund as well that it administers state by state. So it's our job to know all of those subsidiary programs that can also help facilitate the same process if a veteran finds themselves sort of in this habitual cycle of almost becoming homeless. Once they are homeless, if we find a homeless veteran, then of course we've got a wealth of resources that we can help assist that veteran in getting off the streets and into some sort of housing. I personally, since I've been involved with homeless veterans for a long, long time, I prefer the more successful model of getting them into a transitional facility that can help facilitate their mental health, behavioral health, and substance abuse issues, knowing that about 50% of our homeless veterans either are suffering from a mental health issue, a substance abuse issue, and sometimes those co-occurring issues. Providing housing is only just one component. Of course, that's the permanent part, but you got to get them to that permanent part. And I know from experience with my uncle and others that sometimes it takes multiple moments of transition, if you will, to get a veteran ready to successfully transition back into society in a more successful permanent way. And once we get them into that permanent housing, we would like for them to stay there for a long, long time. Then there's also a wonderful program that we've developed with about 57 partners, and you all were part of that with Operation Victory, housing homeless, formerly homeless veterans. And there's about 57 organizations that partner together for maybe the first time. Some of them were already partners with like Habitat for Humanity, but we got a lot of partners together and we were able to renovate or rehab a house in Louisville, Kentucky for a formerly homeless female veteran. And that's really important, you know, not just because it's housing a veteran, but also really attacking the homeless female veteran population, which is very important to me as well, since our female veteran program are just really now in the last, 5 to 8 years being highlighted in a pretty magnificent way. And so partnering with all those organizations just goes again to show that those cooperative efforts can really make the difference in the lives of our veterans and our citizens across the board. And then Habitat for Humanity has a wonderful veterans component of their program, and they help us facilitate creating safer housing for our veterans and providing amenities that create more habitable or humane housing, I should say, for veterans. We'll often get calls with veterans who can't afford a new water heater. They've got holes in their roofs. They got holes in the floor. They're just living really in an uninhabitable situation. And so Mary Shearer from Habitat for Humanity has really stepped up to the plate in a great way. And they have always been able to help facilitate, whether it's getting grants through places like Home Depot or others. She always answers the call of duty for us. And we help her in identifying and accrediting that veteran, you know, making sure that they have their DD-214 form and they are honorably discharged and making sure that we do our due diligence there. So there are a lot of different programs out there. And I always say, you know, every phone call we get here at the office, there's always something new and unique. But we pride ourselves on partnering with great organizations to fill those needs every day.
Heather, I know you and I were a part of that ribbon cutting down in Louisville for the woman veteran. That was probably one of the most memorable ribbon cuttings that I've been to as executive director. And I'm happy that KHC could play a small part in that. What are some of the most prominent issues you see causing homelessness for our veterans?
Wow. So in my day, about 18 years ago, when we had really extreme numbers of 250,000 veterans on any given night on the streets. It was really a lack of resources then and a lack of awareness of those resources. You know, the stand downs that happened back in the late 80s, early 90s, it started in like the San Diego area and swept across the country, really helped to bridge the gap with the community about the true, again, scope of need for our homeless veterans. And then as we got into the 21st century and the VA started stepping up, and instead of having five centers of excellence for mental health and only a few offices for homeless veterans, you know, now with every VA hospital having a homeless veteran coordinator, having someone that can facilitate that role, and every VA being a center of excellence for mental health. And now we've got community-based organizations that have grown exponentially. Now we've got more resources than we've ever had. So before, when we had such dire numbers, it was truly, you know, from the lack of resources or the awareness of. Now the numbers have grown, I think, below 56,000 on a national level. And I certainly think that's great. It's really, I hate to say it's something to celebrate, because if you have one homeless veteran, that's one too many. But certainly with the growth of the resources, it's helped. However, we're still finding that there are veterans who still find it hard to get to those resources. But we do realize, you know, there's always going to be a percentage of veterans who just aren't ready to accept that help yet. And so we understand that it may take multiple rounds of transition to assist a veteran. We run into that quite often. And so I find that, you know, my timeline of wanting to get someone off the streets and into permanent housing might not always coincide where there's been trouble in their own personal finances. And I really think financial literacy is something that this country needs to address, not only in the veteran population, but with everyone. We do find quite a few times that with the Homeless Veteran Transition Fund, that sometimes the priority of payment for things gets a little upside down, and then they find themselves not able to sustain a housing situation. And that's something that, you know, you hope that through working with them and case managing them, that they won't find themselves in that situation again. You know, and then you go into mental health issues. You know, there were and still is a stigma associated with asking for help. And now we have the ability to be able to spread the word about mental health in a way we've never had before. But still, people sometimes are ashamed. They're ashamed of taking medication. And in the military, we still have a bit of stigma with our current military personnel. If they come back from multiple deployments and they try to self-identify as having a mental health issue, they're afraid of getting discharged. But those are some of the things that I've seen as contributors to homelessness among veterans.
So recently I met Ron Georgette, and Ron's a retired veteran from the U.S. Army who leads Operation Stand Down Kentucky, which is an organization that serves as a professional veteran fiduciary or representative payee program that focuses on paying a veteran's debts and monthly fixed expenses. How does Operation Stand Down Kentucky work with the Kentucky Department of Veterans Affairs?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the dynamic problem with veterans and their fiduciary issues is a pretty intimate problem, but we run across that quite a bit with veterans and their families and them not being able to sustain their finances certainly properly. And so we actually recommend or refer veterans to his program and have been very successful at doing that.
The one thing I really liked about the program, it seems like sort of a holistic approach. They not only, you know, help with the housing piece, but they also help with the other aspects of getting a veteran on the right track. I had mentioned earlier a little bit about the bill that Congress passed, the Heather French Henry Homeless Veterans Assistance Act, which was really bipartisan legislation focusing on the eradication of homelessness among veterans nationwide, and especially the homeless female veterans. I know you touched a little bit on this, but can you tell us maybe a little bit more about the impacts of that legislation?
Well, you know, that legislation was some of the probably the very first that even talked about homeless female veterans, which was huge because on the floors of Congress and Senate, you know, rarely were homeless veterans talked about, but also homeless female veterans. And we've really come a long way there, certainly, and the different dynamics that are in that particular population of our veterans. But also, you know, when we talked about eradication of homelessness among veterans, but what I love that that piece of legislation did is it really opened up the conversation and provided funding and insight into how we can create better partnerships between community-based organizations and government in order to facilitate treating and getting the message out and creating programming that can sustain much lower levels of homelessness among veterans. So I'm pretty proud to have that piece of legislation named after me. And it was the late Senator Paul Wellstone and the late Congressman Lane Evans that were really the implementers and the writers of that. And both of those gentlemen were such dynamic men. And Lane Evans was a Marine. And I got a chance to work with Linda Boone, who is in the president of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. And I got to tell you, you know, I might have the title of Miss America, but she truly embodies the entire spirit of what I picture Miss America to be, a woman who was in a world full of men for a long time. And she paved the way for a lot of the success that we're seeing today.
In Kentucky, where can listeners learn more about programs and services that are available to our retired military veterans?
If you're a veteran or know a veteran, have them call the Kentucky Department of Veterans Affairs first. I only say that because veterans is what we do every single day, 24 hours a day. When we come in the morning, when we leave in the afternoon, or sometimes we get calls in the middle of the night, it's our job to know the resources in all 120 counties. And I'm not saying that we can heal everything or we can facilitate curing all of those needs ourselves, but we know the partners out there. We know the veteran service organizations. We know the county resources, the regionally specific resources. And so I would love for, if you're computer literate, go to veterans.ky.gov. We've got a wealth of information on our website. You can always call us here in Frankfort at 502-564-9203 and get a hold. I mean, if it's just calling saying, hey, I'm a Kentucky veteran, I'd like to know, you know, what benefits are available to me. Or maybe you've not even signed up for benefits that you may have earned. We can help you facilitate that process. We can help you facilitate if you're having a tough time going through or navigating the VA healthcare system, because we don't run the VA hospitals, but we can help facilitate some of the challenges that veterans face in that very large system. And we just feel like we're a one-stop shop. You know, we can connect people to all of those types of resources. So I would say, you know, give us a call. Give us a browse on the internet. And if we can facilitate anything for you, we'd be happy to help you do that.
Great. Well, thank you again, Heather, for your time with us today and for sharing valuable information and opportunities that help our veterans, not only in Kentucky, but nationwide.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. And one other plug that I'd like to put in, you know, we've got some other very unique programs that are national programs that are really starting to take hold here in the Commonwealth, you know, like our Veterans Treatment Courts. You know, there is a wonderful movement across the country that instead of, you know, placing veterans behind bars who may have issues with substance abuse and mental health, that we are now providing them referrals into alternative sentencing courts called Veterans Treatment Courts. And I have been pounding the ground, advocating for those since 2008, since the first one started in Buffalo, New York, then Rochester, New York, and then got four, almost five here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And what's great about that is it truly connects veterans who are justice involved into a program that can start that healing process through those referrals in Veterans Treatment Court. And then veterans who have bad discharges, you know, DOD has now been very accepting of reaching out to veterans who may have been given bad discharges that were associated with some mental health issues from combat-related service that weren't treated properly. When you get a bad discharge, that really severely limits the amount of benefits that you have. And so we have a general counsel here who has just done an outstanding job on facilitating several discharge upgrades. Takes a lot of work, certainly, but once a discharge upgrade is upgraded, it opens up a wealth of services for that veteran.
Well, certainly valuable resources there. And again, thank you for your time with us today. And to our military and veterans and their families, thank you for your service and sacrifice in protecting our country's freedom. Please have a great 4th of July holiday. And everyone, please celebrate the historical significance during your festivities. Thank you for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast in your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you.